Matthew 24 in your Bibles today, please. This last section deals with chapter 24, verse 15 through 51 that we have not covered. I'll try to cover verse 15 through 26 today. We looked at the prophetic warning Jesus gave to the nation of Israel. I reminded you of what I believe on eschatology and this church's position on end time things. Or prophecy, that we have a confirmed position that we believe in a premillennial return of Christ and a pre-tribulational rapture, that Christ will come in the clouds and take the saved to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And then the tribulation period begins upon this earth. At the end of that, Christ will return, fight the battle of Armageddon, and then set up His kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. After that, He will create a new heaven and new earth where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. These are His promises to His beloved. Some denominations teach the amillennial view, meaning no millennial, that there is no millennial kingdom, that references heaven and it's allegorical. And I reject that and believe that they also don't just make an allegory out of that, they make an allegory out of much of the Scripture. And don't take a literal interpretation of it. There are still some who hold to a post-millennial view, thinking that we'll convert the whole world to Christianity and then Christ will come back. But I think it's obvious to most people the world's getting worse and worse, not better and better. We're not converting the whole world to Christ. We're converting a remnant of people from among the world to leave this world behind and be rescued and delivered from the tribulation. Also explained that chapter 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew deal with Israel and the tribulation period and the kingdom, and specifically to Israel. There's certainly application to Christianity, there's application to the church, there's application to the coming of Christ, but this does not deal specifically with the rapture. It deals with the second advent, when Christ will return to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, which is referred to as His second coming. Today we take up in Matthew 24 and verse number 15, and I've outlined this in five major points to consider. First of all, in verse 15 through 26, we'll deal with today the warnings of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation references the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, and we'll look at that in a moment. This is also that 7-year tribulation is referred to in the book of Daniel as Daniel's 70th week. That week of years that is yet to transpire in a future day, or 7-year period of time. Secondly, in verse 27 through 31, the return of the great king. First of all, the great tribulation. Secondly, the return of the great king, the second coming of Christ to earth, verse 27 through 31. Thirdly, verse 32 through 36, the generation that shall experience this epoch of time. Those that are living through that event that will transpire, and how God will preserve a remnant of Israel through that tribulation period. Verse 37 through 44, a great warning to watch and be prepared for those who are alive in that time period. And last of all, verse 45 through 51, the great reward for those who are faithful unto the Lord. So first of all, beginning with verse number 15 today. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Then let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. And then it gives the evidence of what they are to look for in the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation. In the next verses, it tells them what not to look for, then it tells them what to look for. So verse 15 through 26 deals with the great tribulation, referring to that last 3.5 years. Verse 15 begins with the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. If you'd like, turn back with me to the book of Daniel. We'll look at about 3 verses of Scripture here, beginning in chapter 9 and verse number 27. Daniel 9 and verse 27. Referring to the Antichrist, in verse 27 of chapter 9 of Daniel, he says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." This is a direct reference to the fact that Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 7 years, and in the midst of the covenant he shall cause the sacrifices to cease at the temple. 2 Thessalonians tells us that he'll stand in the temple and as if he is God and reject everything of God. Daniel 11:36, if you'd like to turn over. Daniel 11:36 says, "And the king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Again, a reference to his declaring he is God, and men must worship him, and the persecution of Israel that will transpire as a result. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8 through 11, he said, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, or 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." So specifically, Daniel refers to that covenant that will be made for 7 years. He refers to a 3.5 year period of time here in chapter 12 and verse 8 through 11. The time of the tribulation that shall come upon all the world to test mankind. Revelation 3:10, the promise there is the true church will be delivered from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world to try the world, to try put man to the test. It doesn't promise that we'll be delivered through the tribulation period. It doesn't promise that we'll be delivered at the end of the tribulation period, nor in the midst of the tribulation period. It promises us that we will be delivered from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. We'll be delivered prior to this event transpiring. And that is the promise to believers today, that we look for Christ to come in the clouds and take us to heaven, as 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 describes and explains. Christ himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We're going to go up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is different from Christ coming to this earth, where he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and fights the battle of Armageddon, which transpires at the end of the tribulation period. Now, the great tribulation events are recorded in Revelation 6 through 19. All of the events that will transpire upon the earth are prophetically given to man in chapter 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation. In Revelation 11:2, it tells us that the times of the Gentiles will end in 42 months, or in 3.5 years. And then in Revelation 15 and 16, those two chapters reveal the 7 vials or bowls of the wrath of God that will be poured out upon the earth forever. during that time span of the Great Tribulation that Jesus warned of. In the midst of the years, a peace treaty with Antichrist, where he turns on them and declares himself as God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, "Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So Jesus gives the warning against this. I believe this is clearly the abomination of desolation that Daniel warned of, that Jesus warns of in chapter 24 and verse number 15, that is to transpire in a future day. Beginning with verse number 16, he warns them about what is going to take place. He warns Israel of the great tribulation. They must flee lest they be destroyed. Rapid departure will be needed in that day when the abomination of desolation transpires. Like World War II, when Hitler and his SS and Gestapo commanders tried to round up and destroy all of the Jewish people within his empire, the place that he was taking by force in World War II, everyone who is an adult, I believe, ought to see the movie Schindler's List. I don't recommend movies for entertainment. Schindler's List has a tremendous amount of history that reveals how the Jewish people were being murdered, and a businessman who was a German by the name of Schindler opened up a factory and hired Jewish people and would put down to the SS that these people had trades and abilities to make bombs and canteens and everything else for the German army. And he built a factory, and he even went so far when he saw Hitler's murderous ways that he tried to hire every person he could afford to hire and find a job for, and even started telling them not to make the bombs so that they could be used, to make them off in their dimensions and that sort of thing, so they would not be effective and not be able to be used. And Schindler saw them go to the concentration camps. He saw them go to the death chambers. And he did everything within his power to stop that. And they still today go by in honorarium and place a rock upon his tombstone in Jewish celebrations for what he did. This is called the Holocaust. The word Holocaust means burning. It was a systematic destruction. It is believed 6 million Jews were put to death by the Nazis. Places like Iran today that hate Israel deny that the Holocaust took place. My friends, you've got to be totally ignorant or uneducated and stick your head in the sand not to know that these things took place. They are clearly documented. Jesus is warning Israel of another Holocaust that will transpire in the tribulation period, one that will be greater than the one of World War II. As a matter of fact, he says it will be a greater persecution, a greater judgment, a greater destruction than has ever transpired upon the earth until this day. In verse 22, he says, "Except he should shorten the days, no flesh would survive the tribulation period." Isaiah 65, verse 8 and 9, as many of the Old Testament prophets prophesy about future events, says that God will preserve a remnant of Israel like preserving a precious cluster of grapes so that they are not all destroyed. In Elijah's day, he felt everyone had turned to idols. God revealed to Elijah, "You don't know everything, Elijah. I have reserved unto me 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image." And God will reserve a remnant of Israel through the tribulation period who will survive and be saved when he himself returns to this earth and fights to defend them in the battle of Armageddon. As all those nations gather around Israel for their destruction, Christ shall come and shall fight for their defense. Chapter 24, 34, which we may get to on another Sunday, describes that generation cannot pass away until all these events be fulfilled. And that refers to Israel. Some well-meaning preachers have tried to put together when Israel became a nation again in 1948 that a generation would not pass away until the Lord returned. And that's not good theology, and it's not good stewardship of the Word of God. They may have meant well in their preaching, but it's just not true. That doesn't refer to the rapture and for our being taken away the Lord from the time Israel became a nation again in 1948. It deals specifically with Israel in the tribulation period. That generation cannot be annihilated because Christ will come and the days have been shortened for their benefit. Next, in verse number 21, the great tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as will not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now by application, we can see God's dealing with mankind in the Psalms, in the second Psalm. If you want to turn there, I'm just going to read the second Psalm to you very rapidly. By application, as the Lord rules over mankind, what will transpire at the coming of the Lord and His kingdom, and then the tribulation period, Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in Him. The Lord is going to rule and reign over this earth, my friends. That day has not yet come. When Christ came, was born as a babe in a manger, He presented Himself to the Jewish nation as king, but as a nation they rejected Him. His kingdom is yet a future event that will transpire and will be set up. But the judgment that will come upon nations is over and over and over given as warnings throughout the Old Testament prophecies and New Testament prophecies as well. Revelation chapter 7, and verse 9 through 17 reveals what men will endure in the great tribulation period. In this text of warning, He reminds these people that when that day comes, to beware of false religion. In every age of time, there have been false prophets and false teachers and cults, just as there are today, there will be in the tribulation period. Those people who are not grounded often get sucked into those religions like a vacuum cleaner sucking up dirt. People who are not grounded in the knowledge of the Word of God today can be tossed about, the Bible says, with every wind of doctrine that comes along. With every new teaching that comes, it's like a new wind blowing through. There's something new that gets started up in religion, and a multitude of people follow after it for a period of time. Looking for thrilling things, exciting things, something new. Friends, if it's true, it's not new. It's in the Bible. It's always been there. It's the same. God's not giving any new revelation. He's not speaking out of heaven to anybody, or we'd have to keep adding books to the Bible. God's finished His revelation, and the next thing we're going to hear from Him is the shout when we go to heaven to be with Him forevermore. But multitudes lack the discernment to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, many are led captive. Colossians chapter 2 warns of this in verse 4 through 8. That people are spoiled. That's not talking about you spoiling your kids and your grandkids. I spoil mine pretty good too. It's talking about spoil like the spoils of war. It's talking about being taken captive through philosophy and vain deceit of men. People sit down and figure out ways to deceive people in religion. They might develop a following. They might get their money. They might get their loyalty. that they may be able to exalt themselves over people. This is typical in religion. In Matthew 24, in verse 24 through 26, he reminds them of these false Christs that will arise and deceive many. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 9, Antichrist is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, the Bible says. And so many will be deceived. You see, Satan does have power. He's not all-powerful like God is all-powerful, but he does have power. And he will be allowed to have power in the tribulation period when he's cast down to this earth. And he will deceive many. John 8:44 says he's the father of lies, the originator of lies. And so he lies to people, and he takes what people desire and appeals to them to draw them after him. And he has ability to do lying signs and wonders in the tribulation period. Revelation 13, verse 11 through 18 says in these lying signs and wonders that he'll be able to call down fire from heaven. Now, the Jewish nation of people are looking today for a sign about Messiah. And the sign that they're looking for is the coming of Elijah. Before that great day, Elijah would come as prophesied. You see, when the Jewish people observe a Seder or Passover supper, they leave an empty chair there for Elijah in case he comes to their home at the observing of the Passover meal or the Seder supper. They're looking for Elijah to come. Elijah called down fire from heaven, destroyed all the prophets of Baal. How easy would it be for a man with the ability to call down fire from heaven to deceive even the elect nation of God? But he won't be able to fully do that because of the promises of the Lord. Now, you and I should not be deceived about things that are going to transpire in the end time. Turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 1. I'm going to read 11 verses of Scripture to you. Referring to the end time, he's just dealt with chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 about the second coming of Christ for the church, the rapture we call it. For anyone who's a visitor today, verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air. That expression, caught up, is where we get the word rapture. In the Latin translation, it uses the word rapto, which means rapture, which means a forcible seizure. The root word of that is rape. And in the Greek, it means the same thing, a forcible seizure. Christ is going to descend into Satan's realm and forcibly take his church out of it to be with him forevermore. Then he says, chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That's not referring to the rapture. That's referring to the day of the Lord. That's referring to the tribulation and the end time second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I give you two illustrations about a woman with child. All you women that have been in labor, you know what it feels like. And some of you men have held your wife's hand in the delivery room and she's almost squeezed it off. You know a little bit about what it's like. But if you've ever given birth to a kidney stone, then you know a little bit about what it's like also. Travail that will come upon them. Verse number 3, when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation includes the word deliverance. by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've not been appointed to wrath. The wrath of God's going to be poured out in the tribulation period. Verse 10, He died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. This first section of Matthew 24, verse 15 through 51, deals with the warning of the great tribulation period. No doubt those Jews who turn to Christ in the tribulation will find copies of the Scriptures and absorb these warnings and be looking and preparing themselves as these events will be transpiring. And then it begins in verse 27 through 31 with the return of the great King. First, the warning of the great tribulation. Secondly, the return of the great King. A direct prophecy to the return of Christ. The return of Christ to come to this earth and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up His kingdom is prophesied throughout the Scriptures. 1/5 of all Scripture is referring to prophecy, and 1/3 of that refers to the second coming of Christ. Someone counted up 660 general prophecies. 333 of them are about Christ. 109 of those were fulfilled when Christ came the first time, but 222 of them will be revealed and fulfilled at His second coming. 36 Old Testament prophets speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ. My friends, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming again. I believe His promise is just as true today as it has ever been. And with the events we see transpiring in the world, it ought to be like a rattling of a sword to us to know our time may be soon. It could even be today. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed. Father, we love You. We give You praise and thanks. Ask You to help us to be a people looking for Your coming, longing to be with You, ready and prepared and equipped to face the future events. And we long to hear You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into rest." So help us to do that. Pray, Lord, that You'll help anyone here today who's not prepared by knowing Christ as their Savior, having that foundation with God through Jesus Christ. We're ready and willing to help them with the Bible and show them how to be saved if You'll deal with their heart, help them to see their need and come. And then, Lord, for Your people, help us not get so caught up in this present world in which we live that we're not looking and longing for Your coming. Remind us, this will revive our souls if we'll be anxious and looking for the coming of Christ. We ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.